your purpose for life. I don't know of anything that's any more important than knowing what we're built for. Amen? This week, we're going to talk about that second purpose for which we were made, for which God created us, being formed for God's family. You may recall this scripture that we started with and that we based these last couple of weeks on. It comes from Mark chapter 12. And if you remember, would you stand with me? I don't even think I had it, put it on the overhead, but you're going to remember it. And I'm going to ask if you would help me and do your best, kind of recite it with me. When that man came to Jesus and one of the scribes, he said, "What's the greatest command of all?" Do you remember what he said? It says that Jesus answered him and said, "The first commandment is this, 'Hear, O Israel, that the Lord our God is one, and you shall what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength.'" And we forgot the soul, didn't we? With all your soul, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, that's the first commandment. And he said, the second is like it. He said, you shall love your neighbor. He didn't say love yourself. We don't seem to have a problem with that. He didn't say love those who love you. He said, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Jesus then looked right at him and said, there are no commandments greater than these. So I have to say the same thing. Amen? There is no greater command. We talked about loving God. Now let's step into that second one. How do we learn to love each other? Just remain standing with me. I'm going to preach at you for a while. You needed to stretch out anyway. Last week we said our first purpose was what? Love God. Worship. To know Him. To love Him. Today we're going to look at that second purpose, that we're formed for God's family. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10 says this. God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. What's for God's glory? Does that include me? Does that include you? Are you a part of all things? He wanted to have many children share His glory. Wow. God wanted a family. God wanted children. That's why, look at me, that's why you're here. God wanted a family. That's why you're here. To love God and to love His family. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 says this, His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. I know there are different versions, but that's what this means. The Bible is the story of God building His forever family that's going to last not just here on this earth. Hello? Not just here on this earth, but forever. That's why we call it God's forever family, not God's sometimes family. Earth, dear friends, is your training wheel. You remember training wheels, right? Earth is your training wheels to get you lined up to know and begin to love God, because that's your first purpose, to know and to love God. Then He wants you to start on your second purpose. Your second purpose is to love your spiritual family. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 from the Message sums it up well. It says, love your spiritual family. That's the second purpose of your life. Pray with me. Father, as we look into Your Word, we remember what You said. But God, help us to do more than just remember it. Help us to practice it, to do what You've said to do, to love You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. God, we need help with that. We never could have accomplished this on our own anyway, so we just admit and confess that we need your help. And all God's people said, we need your help, Lord. So, Lord, would you help us as we seek you and seek your help to love those around us and to do it well. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Our first purpose is to know and love God. Our second purpose in life is fellowship. We're good at some forms of fellowship. Amen. I'm going to tell you that when I do a men's event, I will have an event and I'll say, we are going to clean out the church storage area. And we'll have a few guys show up. But when I say we're going to have steak night, 150 sign up. And I know, hey, we're a small church. 150 is a lot of men. I'm going to tell you, it's easy to fellowship in the easy and the fun way. But you know what? Doing all that we're called for is not always easy. What do you think of when I say fellowship, by the way? When I say fellowship, what do you think of? I'm going to tell you that in Baptist realms, the first thing we think of is dinner on the grounds. Okay, that's what I think of. Service? Is that what we... I tell you what, we usually think about eating and talking and getting to church. Fellowship, dear friends, is the biblical word that describes us loving each other. That's what God's word tells us. Fellowship, dear friends, is loving God's family. That's what fellowship is. 1 John chapter 4, verse 21 says, the person who loves God must also love other believers. God tells us we're to love Him and love other believers. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people will tell me, oh, preacher, I'm doing my best at that first part. But that second part I'm struggling with. I can love God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength, and I don't mind focusing on that. But I just got to tell you, some of them folks that I know aren't as easy to love as you might think. I'm going to say, well, you know what? We're all in that boat, every single one of us. Somebody wrote a little poem that says, to dwell above with the God we love. Now that, my friend, is glory. But to endure below with the folks we know, now that's another story. And all God's people said, oh me, right? The Bible gives us some very clear instructions about family care. It tells us that we're to love each other unconditionally. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul wrote to Timothy and told him, look, I'm giving you these instructions because I want you to know how to take care of your family. He says, I'm writing so that you'll know how to live in the family of God and that family is the church. God said it. I don't have to say it. Your family is the church. If you know Christ as Lord and Savior, the church is your family. Not a building, not an organization, not a club. Church is more than a building, amen? Church is not the place you come. That's the place where the church meets. It's more than a service where you gather to worship. Church is a family that you belong to. Folks, there is a big difference when you look at the church as your family. That's why our motto seemed to have come along on its own. It wasn't that we planned it that way, but it kind of came out that way. I guess because so many people said, we're like family, and I kept correcting them. We're not like family. Because when you know and you trust and you believe and you work and you actually commit like your family, it makes a difference. And that's what God's word says. We are supposed to be family. In God's family, there are four levels of fellowship. I'm going to try to get every one of them in today. Now, why should we care? Why should I care that there are four levels of fellowship? Because it's impossible, listen to me, it's impossible to fulfill the other purposes that God has for you without each level of this fellowship that I'm about to tell you about. That's why I gave you notes this morning, and there's not a bunch of side notes, just the main points this morning. So first and foremost, The first level of fellowship is membership. You've got to choose to belong. You have to choose to belong. It's the most basic level. When God leads you to a church, you must choose to connect with it. Now, I've told you this. I've told everybody that I've had an opportunity to talk to here. I know that I would, in my own heart, wish that every person that ever came to Grace Point would just stay. I'm that way. Okay, I'm greedy. I love for people to come and be a part. And when they go, it breaks my heart. But I know this, God has a way of putting in your heart where you're supposed to be. And if you are there and God puts on your heart, you said, and he's saying, look, this is where I want you to be. You know what you need to do? You need to do what God tells you to do. You need to choose to be a part of that place because that's God's leadership. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19 says this, you are members of God's very own family and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. You belong. The Christian life is not just a matter of believing. It's a matter of belonging. We're family. You and I must choose to belong. Fellowship begins with belonging. And God wants you to identify with His family. Now, I know there's a lot of people who said, man, I don't know if I want people to realize that I'm a part of that crazy crew. I know that sometimes we can be a little different, a little off, because the Bible tells us that we are aliens in this world. We don't belong here, but we do belong to God, and when you belong to God, you all belong together. But saying that you don't want to be a part of God's family on this earth is kind of like saying, I want to be a football player, but I don't want to be a part of any team. I want to be a baseball player, but I don't want to belong to any particular franchise. That just does not make sense whatsoever. The church is the base for where you live out your means as a Christian. Now, I'm not saying that all happens in the building. What I'm saying is it happens in the church. There's a difference. Are you with me? That's why I started off defining the difference between a building and a church. But that's where it begins. Romans chapter 12 verse 5 says, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Dear friend, I know you don't particularly want to remember this all the time, but God's word says that you belong to the rest of the membership. You're a part of us. Scripture says that, you know, that one part of the body can't say to another part of the body, I don't need you. The eyes don't say to the hands, I don't need you. The hands don't say to the feet, I don't need you. Because we do need each other. And God says some of the most unseemly parts are the most important. When's the last time you thought about the bottoms of your feet? Or your big toe? Or your armpit? Listen, some of us may be the soles of the feet, and we may feel like an armpit, but I'm going to tell you, you try to survive without them, amen? I thought about this the other day. I thought, you know what? I am so thankful for the garbage men in my subdivision. Nobody likes to think about the garbage. We just pile it up and we put it out there. But you let them go 1 week without picking it up and you look and see what kind of attention it gets. Some of the base things, some of the most simplest things are sometimes some of the most important. Do we appreciate it? We need to be appreciative of the family and all that they do. You got to choose to belong. You say, well, you know, I love the Lord, but I just don't know about church. Well, let me ask you, what if I came to you, men, look at me. What if I came to you and I said, you know, brother, I really like you, but I can't stand your wife. Would that bother you? If it doesn't, there's a problem, amen? Well, how in the world can we look at Christ Jesus and say, God, I love you, but I can't stand your bride? The bride is not the building. The bride is the church. You're the bride of Christ. Oh, God, I want to be a part of you, but I don't want to be a part of your family? We're to be here to love His church, to belong to His church, to support His bride. When we have a family, we don't send the paycheck elsewhere. We support our family and take care of our family. God's word says that you, dear friend, men, you are to be supporting and caring first for your family. That's why we have a marriage ceremony when you join this church. Have y'all noticed that? Some of you are going, it's beginning to make sense now. I've been here for years and years and years, and I wondered why you did that. We have a marriage ceremony. When God leads people to be a part of His church, we stand before one another and we can make a commitment to say that we're going to open our circle of kinship and friendship. We're going to love each other as God leads us, and we're going to do our best to take care of each other. That's kind of like the wedding ring of Christian life. It's a visible symbol like baptism when you receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, the second level of friendship is important as well. And that second level of friendship is the friendship level. This, I said friendship, didn't I? The second level of fellowship is the friendship level. In other words, learning to share. You were made for relationships. You're not a lone wolf. I know a lot of guys like to think, I'm all right all by myself. But God said in Genesis chapter 2 about you, He said, it is not good for man to be alone. You know, preacher, He's talking about a wife there. Is He just talking about a wife there? He said, it's not good for a man to be alone. You go back and read in Ecclesiastes where He said, if a man's walking through a field by himself, he sure better be careful, because if he falls and there's nobody there to pick him up, woe be to that man. But blessed is the man who walks with someone. Blessed is the man who has a friend to walk with him. And then it says a cord of three is really difficult to break. That is you, your friends, and the Lord your God. Wow. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 from the Living Bible says, all the believers met together constantly, and they shared everything with each other. In other words, dear folks, Christian life is not a solo act, not a solo for a family, not a solo for an individual. And I'm going to tell you this. Did you know you cannot develop friendships if you don't meet with other people? There's a lot of people think, well, I've got a lot of friends, and they count this number on that little Facebook dilly. I've got 1,200 friends. Do you? I'm going to tell you, if you don't meet with them, you don't have friends. You can't develop friendships without sharing. Dear friends, if you want to have a friend, God's word says, be a friend. Do you know why most people are lonely? If you find a lonely person, I'm going to tell you why they're lonely. It's because they don't take time to make friendships. That's why people are lonely. They're too busy not making friends. They're too busy achieving. They're too busy working. They're too busy doing other things. Good friendships are a choice. To be a friend is a choice. It's not luck. You can't look at somebody and go, well, you're lucky to have such a good friend. No, they're not. They are blessed because they took the time to invest in a friend. That's why you have good friends. And you go, preacher, this doesn't seem like a biblical sermon. I'm going to tell you, it is as biblical as anything else, because God's word says that in order to have a friend, you must be a friend. Find yourself friendly. God's word says that we should not forsake the meeting together with God's people. God's word says we are part of a body, a single unit of a larger unit that is supposed to work together. God's word says that not one individual is His bride, but the church is His bride. Do I need to say more? God's word says that you need to be a part of what God is doing. God's word says that we need to share experiences. We need to learn from one another. As we learn from mothers and fathers, we need to learn from each other, but also from friends. In Proverbs 27, verse 17, the scripture says, just as iron sharpens iron, so what? Friends sharpen one another. So the Bible says we need to share some experience. Three quick things that we need to share. One, 1 Peter 4:9 says we need to open up our homes to each other. So we need to share our homes. Share your homes with each other. It doesn't say only if you have a really nice home. It doesn't say only if you've got the biggest living room in the church. It doesn't say only if you keep it so clean you can eat off the kitchen floors. Now listen, you come to my house, don't eat off my kitchen floor. I'm not saying anything about Brenda's cleaning. I'm saying everything about the man who lives there. But by all means, come and share what's in the kitchen. Folks, it is difficult to fellowship in a large crowd, but it is much easier to fellowship in a small group. That's why God's Word says to open up your homes. Did you know that in the first 300 years of Christianity, there was not a church building? You know where they met? Guess. Where? In your home. That was the fastest growing period of the church, by the way. They met in homes. So open up your homes. It leads to church growth. Now, how do I do that? And fight folks over for a fellowship. By the way, I'm just going to tell you, we've been talking about a finance meeting next Sunday night. Ain't going to happen. Y'all know what's next Sunday night? Yep, football fans are going, I'm not going to a meeting at the church on Sunday night. Open up your home. Invite some people over. Tell them to stop and get some chicken nuggets and some dipping sauce and come on over. If you're going to watch the game, do it with somebody. I mean, open up your homes. That's what God's Word says. So open up your homes. That's the church in action. For fellowship, for home groups, for Bible study. We need to share experiences. The Bible says that we need to learn from each other. We need to share our homes. That's the second thing. And the third thing is we need to share our problems. We're not meant to face our problems alone. We weren't supposed to do it all by ourselves. God's Word says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wait a minute. God's Word says that we fulfill the law of Christ. How? Bearing one another's burdens. I like what somebody said. They said, you know, a joy that is shared is doubled, but a burden that is shared is cut in half. Romans 12:15 says that we are to weep with those who weep, and we're to rejoice with those who rejoice. Oh, it's okay for us to rejoice, but do we weep with those who weep? And do we truly rejoice with those who rejoice? We had some childhood friends who had a little piece of acreage somewhere. I don't even know where it was. And they found out that there was oil on it. They just had a few acres. Found out there was oil on it. And overnight, they were wealthy. I was just a kid. I used to play with their kids. But I remember my mom and dad talking. They said, isn't that sad? And I said, sad? What's sad about having money? And they said, so many of their friends were so jealous they wouldn't even hang out with them anymore just because they'd found out that they had been blessed. Do we really rejoice with people who get blessed? We should. Do we weep with those who are suffering? Folks, it takes an investment to do that. And God's Word says that we are supposed to do that. Now, note this. It doesn't say we are supposed to be able to fix everybody's problems. Listen, we can barely take care of our own. Amen? But God's Word says that we are supposed to work with others. We can't fix everybody else's problems, but it does say to share them. What a difference it makes when you're not facing something devastating alone. Amen? You need to get to that level of friendship, and the only way you're going to do that is to be in a small group. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, as I alluded to a while ago, says, let's don't give up the habit of meeting together as some have done. Instead, let's encourage one another. The third level of fellowship is partnership. I'm going to try to pick it up just a little bit. Partnership. In other words, doing my part. Partnership is realizing that you've got a contribution to make. Not just being there, but realize that you are needed. You're needed in God's church. God didn't bring you to Grace Point to sit back and then disappear. He brought you to be a part. That's why he brought you here, because he said, you have something unique that needs to be poured out into the body of God. You're here to serve, to make a difference. In every family, there are responsibilities. And you know what? The babies don't have to do them. But as you grow up, you're supposed to learn to take care of some of the responsibilities around the house. Dear friends, sometimes the church needs a little help with dividing the chores. You're going, Pastor, I don't like this sermon one bit. Well, let me just tell you. Sometimes you just need to be reminded that as in a family, everybody needs to do a part. Otherwise, you wear out the ones that are going. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says, we are partners working together for God. Partners working together. In order to be a part, you've got to find your niche. Now, I'm not saying that you know, come in and do stuff that you don't know how to do, but, you know, by all means, come in and do the stuff you do know how to do. The Bible says we've all got a place. Ephesians 4:16 says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We are a part of God's body working together to get things done. God knew that, so he put us together as a family so that we could encourage each other and help each other so that no one part got wore out doing everything, but that we could help and support and do it together. Because together we can do more than we ever could alone. Do you want to experience a deeper level of fellowship? Let me just tell you, write this down in your brain. Do you want to experience a deeper level of fellowship? Then you look for a practical need inside of your small group this week and begin to fill it and watch to see what happens with your fellowship with them. The last level of fellowship is kinship. Loving believers like family. Now, kinship literally means your closest relationships. The Bible says that that's the attitude that we're supposed to have for each other. Remember Acts 2:42 said that they were like family to each other. And I'm going to say not just like family, we are family. Romans 12:10 says that we are to be devoted to each other as a loving family. Committed to each other, committed to each other's needs, committed to each other in godly love. That's family relationship. That's kinship. Now, most Christians know John 3:16. Amen? You know John 3:16? Quote it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Almost every Christian knows that scripture. But did you know that 1 John 3:16 is just important, just as important? 1 John 3:16 says this, we know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. And we ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. That's the second part of the greatest commandments. This is the deepest level of fellowship, sacrificing for each other. It's the kind of love that Jesus had for you, and it's the kind of love that we're supposed to have for others. Life, dear friends, is not about accomplishments. And that... For what is it? Guys, when we get together, ladies, I don't really know what y'all talk about when y'all get together. I think maybe the first thing you talk about is, you know, is how you're doing, whatever, and then you talk about your husbands. I don't know. It's my guess. When guys get together, you know the first thing that we talk about? We don't get together and look right at a guy and say, married? No. Hungry? Yeah, maybe, but not usually. You know what we say? You know what we ask? What do you do? Isn't that true? What do you do for a living? That's the first thing we ask you, you know. Well, what do you do for a living? How do you make your money? We talk about what we do. Why? Because that seems to be so important to us, what we do. Did you realize that God did not make you here to do an earthly job? That's just the way that God gives you to support his ministry. God put you here for a purpose, and that purpose was to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second reason was what? to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're here for. Maybe it's a better question to get together and say, hey, you know, how are you taking care of your family? But we don't do that. It's too personal. God's word says that we are family. Remember this. Life is not about your accomplishments. It's about your relationships, starting with God and then branching out to others. First, you were put on this earth to know and to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second, you were put here to know and to love your family. I have been at the bedside of many, many people that were dying. That seems to be the privilege and the responsibility of a pastor. And I've been there many times. And not one time have I ever heard somebody say, well, I don't have long. I want you to get all of my trophies from the trophy room and bring them down here. Let me look at them one last time. I never heard a man say, get my checkbook. I want to check the balance one more time. He never says, get my diplomas. You know what he says? You know what everybody says? Almost everybody. They say, where's my family? Where's the ones I love? That's what they say. When it comes to your deathbed, are you going to call together to see what were my accomplishments? You want somebody to come read the book to you? You did this and this and this and this. Or would you rather the people that you love the most be the ones that are there? Listen, friend, I pray that you will not wait until you are on your deathbed to learn this fact. I got to tell you, I was even talking to a friend this week, just even this week, and I had to tell them, I regret not spending more time with my children. There's no way that I could look at them and say, I regret not spending more time at the church. 60, 70, 80 hours a week often. But I do regret that I did not spend more time with my children to invest in them. Please do not miss this truth. Loving your family, no, loving God is called worship. Loving each other, loving your church family is called fellowship. And God's word says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Friends, that's how people are going to know you. We want Grace Point, I believe we do, not to be known for how big it is. It's nicer when it grows bigger, things more people to fellowship with, but that's not what we need to be known for. We don't need to be known for the pastor's sermons that go sometimes too long. We don't need to be known for our buildings. You know what we need to be known for? We need to be known for our love. That's what God's word says. When people think about Grace Point, you know, I want them to be able to say, oh, that's the place with the buildings that, no. Oh, that's the place where the preacher, no. I want it to be, oh, that's the place where they love each other so much. That's what we're supposed to be about. That's what Christianity is, loving God and loving each other. Look at me. Tell me if this is not true. Was this you? People are not looking for religion. Hello? Were you, when you needed something, were you looking for a religion? No. They're looking for a family. God's family. They're not necessarily looking for doctrine. They'll get good doctrine when they come to this church, but folks, that's not what they're looking for when they come here. They're looking for love. That's why I tell you time and again, people do not come to church to be alone. They come to church because they're seeking fellowship. And three verses will test you on this, people. I hope this will help you. John 3:10 says, anyone who does not love Christians does not belong to God. 1 John 4:20 says, those who do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. 1 John 3:14 says, but if we love our Christian brothers, it proves that we have passed from death to eternal life. There's the proof. Do we love each other? The greatest privilege you will ever be offered in life is the privilege of being a part of God's family, period. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I know some of you didn't grow up in homes where there was a lot of love, and you really don't know how to love. You come to church, and you come to be a part of a church family, and you don't know how to love. That's what the family's here for, is to help us to learn to love each other, to use God's word, to read from His word, to practice it, to sharpen each other, as the scripture says, to encourage each other, and when we step out of line, to admonish each other. Not fun, but totally necessary. Are you a part of the family of God? You might say, well, isn't everybody? No. Everyone is not a part of the family of God. Listen to this. Everybody, every person is created by God, but not everybody is a child of God. Do you know why? You must choose to be a part of the family of God. Galatians 3:25 says, you're all children of God through faith, and that through Jesus Christ. If you're not a part of the family of God, you can do that today. Do you belong to a church? Do you belong to a family? Do you belong to a fellowship? Listen, if you don't, you need to consider where God wants you to be. Are you sharing? If you are a part, are you giving? Are you contributing? Are you doing your part? God expects us to do our part in the family. And then have you moved to the deepest level? Do you love others? Are there other believers that know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you care for them and that you are there for them through thick or thin? And if they don't, I'm going to say you haven't completed your tasks. They need to know this. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we know that next to salvation, the greatest gift that you have ever given us is the opportunity to be a part of your family. We know the greatest gift is being able to love you and being a part of your family, Lord. But the second part of that is being able to serve and love and give and be a part, to share. God, thank you that we don't have to go through life alone. Amen? We don't have to go through life disconnected and isolated. God, thank you for creating a family for us. Thank you for creating the Grace Point family for all of us. Now, friends, I'm going to ask you, would you pray this prayer? Let me just guide you, if I may. I'm not going to try to put all the words in your mouth, but would you consider praying a prayer like this? Dear God, I want to be a part of your family. I want to learn to love my spiritual family just like you do. Forgive me for taking it casually, Lord. I want to grow in all the levels of fellowship. So today, Lord, I'm going to choose to belong. I'm not going to float around, not anymore. I want to learn to share and make time to develop some real friendships and kinships in your house, Lord. I want to do my part in the family of God. God, sometimes I have a hard time loving others, so I pray, God, would you help me to learn to love others, to learn to love other believers like brothers and sisters. God, I ask you, would you help me to learn the real meaning of love from you? In your name I pray. Amen. It's my hope and prayer that all of us prayed that in so many ways. But I'm going to ask you, if you've never been a part of a fellowship, it may be because you weren't a part of the family. Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you've never called on Him, you can do that this day. Maybe God's leading you to be a part of this church family. Maybe God is leading you to surrender your heart and life to Him in service. Maybe you just want to rededicate your heart and life to the Lord your God. This altar is always here for you to come to kneel and pray.